Our world is available to us to enjoy if we wish. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, University of Goodwill, University of Abundance, University of Joy and Harmony and Peace and Right Action, here in Campo, California. And we'll have them all that you want, you know, you name it, we've got it. How do you enjoy the things that you're doing in your life? This morning, Rex and I took a walk around our 3-mile path around the 100-acre campus here on the University of Healing. And as we did, the sky was just loaded with real dark, heavy clouds. And they looked so beautiful. And we looked off to the hills, and we saw that here and there it was raining. You could see the rain coming down. And then toward San Diego, you could see the hills had turned into a deep purple. The tops of the mountains were just in a deep purple. And it made me think, how many times do we sit in our house and don't see that? How many times does the weather play its wonderful magical games for us and we're not even out there enjoying it? And as I walked along, the sky began to drop little drops. Not big ones, just little drops, but regular. And they just kept dropping down, and they're dropping on my shoulders and dropping on Rex, and Rex looked up and stuck his tongue out, and he thought that's a nice experience. He really enjoyed that. And we walked along, and we got all the way back to our house, and it still kept dripping a little rain, but not enough to do anything. But it was kind of interesting. And then it reminded me of the night before. The night before, I was at the back southwest corner of the property, and as I was up on top of the mountain there, looking out, I looked toward the windmills who were over in Boulevard, and you could see all the windmills over there. You could see them in the dusk, and you could see the windmills and their blades turning around, even from this distance. That's over 20 miles, 25 miles away almost, you know. And you could see the blades turning around. They're big blades. And then as we sat there on the bench at that location, night fell. And it became very black for a few moments. And we looked over at the windmills, and each windmill has a little light on top of it. And here, we counted 25 lights, Rex and I, as they were on these 25 windmills that we could see. And you say, my goodness, you must have good eyes to see all the way over there. Not really. Light shines a long way. You can see light for a very long distance. And yes, I do have good eyes. So we looked at them and we were saying, isn't that beautiful? How we would have missed seeing the lights on top of the windmills if we weren't there at just that moment when it was dark enough to see it. Because then the evening twilight came on, and it had been black for a little while because of the clouds and what have you, and then sort of a light from behind the hill, as though there was illumination behind the hill, and that's on the east, and so there's no sun over there, not yet, it's not too early. But the illumination was there, and here these beautiful towers were standing up there on the top of the mountains, 25 miles away, clear as could be, just beautiful. I should take my binoculars one time and look over there and see how they look from this distance. But we have all these beautiful things to look at, all these beautiful things that go through our life that we really don't pay much attention to. Well, this morning, one of our students from the Philippines sent us a beautiful, I don't know what you call it, just a beautiful statement.
Email.
It was an email, yes, an email statement. And on the email statement, it had the two tenors, who are famously known as the three tenors. But the two tenors were quite fascinating. One was Luciano Pavarotti, and he was not involved. But there was Placido Domingo and Jose Carreras. And Domingo and Carreras were in Spain, and they were on opposite sides of a political party, a political activity. And so they became enemies because they were violently into their political activities. And they just really had a very knockdown, drag out thing about it. They were good singers. They were each going around doing their concerts and doing wonderful work. Then Carreras contacted Leukemia. And he was a very wealthy man, but he went through his entire fortune having the blood marrow tests and all of these blood transferences and, you know, things that went through, and pretty soon he ran out of money. And then he heard of an organization called the Hermosa Society, and it worked with people who had leukemia. It had been newly formed and was quite effective and quite wonderful. And so he went to this organization without money, and the organization took him on immediately. And within a very short time, he was completely cured of his leukemia, which is rather remarkable, I think. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that, wow, people really should look into them. So, Carreras was happy he was well and singing again. And then one day he was looking through the bylaws of the Hermosa Society, and he found out that the Hermosa Society had been founded by Placido Domingo, who was the head of it and the founder of it and the leading contributor to it, the financial contributor to it, and that it had been founded virtually at the time that he ran out of money for his help for treatments and so forth. And then he found out that Placido Domingo did it for him, created a whole society just for him so that he could be healed of his illness and so that he could do it. And later they asked Placido Domingo, why did you do this for Carreras, Jose Carreras? He was your competition, he was your political enemy, and he was this and that. And Domingo said, we cannot afford to lose a beautiful voice like that. And of course, Carreras, when he heard about it, he was rather startled. He didn't think that such a thing could ever happen in his life, because he had been so violently opposed to Domingo because he was on the other side of the political deals. And you know how Mediterranean peoples can be. They're very, not violent, but they're very powerfully expressing themselves, you know, in their political beliefs as well as everything else. And so at one of Domingo's concerts, he was up on stage, and Carreras came up on stage and knelt down before Domingo, and in front of the entire audience, he said, can you forgive me? And of course, there was nothing to forgive. And from that time on, the three tenors, I think, probably formed, and they go around the world doing primarily charity concerts, because all of their money is given to charity. They have sufficient money to live uncomfortably themselves. They don't need it. So they do the concerts for charity, and the concerts are overwhelming successes. And the thing is, since they're not being paid, they don't have to perform. They get up there and be themselves and have fun. And it shows in the concert. It shows in the presentations that they make. These guys are just having a ball.
Yeah.
And while they're serious at times when they're doing their high notes or when they're doing their very complicated musical, what do they have it, the musical selections that they have for themselves, it's just fantastic. And so, yet, the audience just dies to hear them, just thinks that this is the most wonderful group of men that the world has ever created, because these guys give so totally from their hearts, so totally from themselves. And like I say, they're not being paid, which is wonderful. Yeah. They're being paid, all right, with all their appreciation. But they don't need the money. They don't need this. They give them the concert returns to charity, whatever the charities may be. And they, probably Bill Gates. And it's wonderful, because this is how, if we each could learn to take a lesson from these guys and work for nothing. In fact, that's what I did when I was in Minneapolis. I was working for this church, receiving this beautiful salary of about $100,000 a year, which was a very handsome salary as the minister of their church. And then an incident happened, and I decided, nope, I'm going to take the vow of poverty. And the church can support me, and I'm going to just take nothing. And so from that moment on, I took nothing. The church liked that. But they took good care of me, and they provided me with a very lovely house and nice Mercedes 450 SL and all of the budgeting for clothing and what have you that I needed, or food or anything. It was all right there. So I was living very handsomely and very, very nicely. And with my assortment of toys, as you know, for my microphones and for my tape recorders. At that time, they didn't have the nice stuff we have now. But it was great. But I worked for nothing. And so therefore, I didn't care what they wanted. I gave them what I felt from my heart I wanted to give. And, oh, the whole church, you know, just got on fire, because different people wanted things their way. And I said, I don't care. I'm here just to talk, to give my lectures and do my thing. But no, we want more music, the music director said. We want more of this. And I said, extend the program, you know. I'll do my parts first, and then you can have your part to go on as long as you want, you know. They couldn't get to me, you know. They couldn't disturb me. They couldn't shake my boat. And that shook their boat. But, hey, that's okay, and it's wonderful. And this is what all of us can be. Be ourselves and have fun. And just remember, we're not being paid. Here at the monastery, we're all monks, and none of us are being paid. Any of us that receive money from any other place, we immediately turn it over to the monastery so that it can be used for whatever purposes it's to be used here, unless I'm doing some of my projects. And those are good, too. But this is what life is all about, to be yourself and have fun and to enjoy your life and enjoy everything you do. And when you do, then you are really being the absolute philosopher. And do you think they could have paid Socrates to do the work he did? The work that he did was far and beyond the call of duty, or various other people that we read about in the philosophical way. In fact, the philosophers, by and large, are like the painters and the artists. And they live in their garret. They live for their philosophy. They don't live to make money off of it. In fact, philosophy, generally speaking, doesn't make money. It costs money to give people time. But you see, today we have learned that the think tank is the most prosperous aspect of using the talents of humanity that we've ever had, because we take the great minds and we put them together on projects, and they're supported by different organizations to let them think and let them come up with these great things. Before, it had to be a war, or it had to be a crisis that would bring out the money to support searching out things. But now, it's not. Now it's not. Now, think tanks and things of that nature are there for that, and that's great. So, you are in the think tank of the Absolute Monastery here, and the think tank is be yourself and have fun, and support the monastery so that it can continue to support you, and watch what miracles happen in your life. Have a good day, and know that I have a very, very, very good day. I love you, I love you.
I love you.
I love you.